Jody Vance with you. And of course, top of mind for so many is Airbnb regulations that have just been handed down by Vancouver City Council, the mayor announcing that they're going to be licensing fees. Some think it's a cash grab because, what, $49 a year? The people that do this, that have a secondary residence, that are renting it out to Airbnb on short-term rentals, I don't think that's a big hit. And when you're living in an occupancy crisis, a housing crisis in a city like Vancouver, why not tighten it up here? Like, I might be in the minority. I don't do Airbnb. I haven't stayed in one. I don't have one. But I totally understand if I lived in a house that had an extra suite, a basement suite that I could rent out long term, and I decided I wanted to do on a short term rental basis so that I could bolster my mortgage so I could stay in the house, stay in the school catchment area. That makes sense to me. So if the argument is we want to make the city more affordable from a housing standpoint for those who are trying to have their detached home or even a duplex that has an extra suite and you want to rent it out so you can continue living there, that's one thing. But I know people who have rental suites that they rented out. They don't live there. They rented it. It's not even that they own it. They rent out that suite, furnish it, and then run it through Airbnb. They take care of listing it, bringing people in, making sure it's clean, da 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 da. But somebody else actually owns that property. So they're making money. It's like a small business. Now, we live in a country where that shouldn't be necessarily reined in because we live in a free country and ingenuity is good. But when you're in a housing crisis the way we are here in Vancouver, maybe we need to crack down on that. That's like the empty homes tax, and that's like parking money. Like, it's a much bigger story that has led us down this path. But we are where we are now, and people can't afford their rent, and many people can't even find a place to try and rent because the occupancy rate is incredibly difficult to navigate. So this Airbnb crisis is in place, and we're going to get more into the whole Twitter scandal at City Hall yesterday, where City Council was in session and the mayor's office tweeted out the result of the City Council session while it was still underway and the vote hadn't taken place. That we'll put aside for now. We'll talk to City Councilor Adrian Carr about that later today, and we'll also talk to George Affleck about that tomorrow. But right now, I want to talk about Airbnb and why some people, yours truly included, have an opinion on this, that these new regulations aren't going to solve much at all and just really add up to, I think, a cash grab. So David Clement, North American Affairs Manager for Consumer Choice Center, joins us on the line. David, really appreciate you joining us on short notice.
Thank you for having me on the show.
What's your opinion on what Vancouver is doing with regard to Airbnb?
So I think that it's an incredibly misguided approach to the rental crisis. The first side, which you mentioned in your preamble there, is the tax. $49 is obviously not a huge amount. But when it's a little bit misguided to call it a license, which is what the city is doing, because when people hear license, they think quality assurance or quality control.
Right.
Like when you get a license for a car, it assumes that you're a safe driver, you've passed a test.
Right.
The city license is just a fee. So it's just a means of generating money because they know a lot of people like to list their residents on Airbnb. So we pointed out that it's really just a cash grab. They've identified something that they can make money off of, and they're going to go down that route. The bigger issue in terms of Airbnb is the secondary home regulations, so prohibiting people from listing secondary residences. And for us, that's a huge problem. It's a big property rights violation in terms of, is it appropriate for the city government to be telling you what you can do in the confines of your own home? I'd argue probably not. It will have a significantly negative impact on short-term rental options for tourists, which is obviously important in a city like Vancouver. But most importantly, it won't address the rental crisis, and it won't fix the issue of vacancy and issue of affordable housing in the city.
We're with David Clement, the North American Affairs Manager for Consumer Choice Center. And David, I'm a Vancouverite born and raised. I've had to navigate my way through rental. I wasn't into my mid-30s before I could purchase a home. And even then, my mortgage was massive. Still is.
Yep.
So, I've scratched and clawed, and we were suburban. And then we've, slowly but surely made our way back into the city where we grew up. I mean, this is an issue that's larger. When talking about secondary homes within Vancouver being restricted, I kind of don't have a problem with that. Now, the caveat being, outside of Vancouver, if your secondary residence is at Whistler and you want to Airbnb that, go for it. But if you're in Vancouver, where the rental crisis is to epic levels, if it's a short-term fix, I can get behind that. Because you're right, I don't think City Hall should be telling you what you can and cannot do with your home, primary residence. But if you can buy, you know, six apartments in Vancouver and you live in your primary residence, and instead of renting those six units out to long-term rentals, you decide to Airbnb those are not available to long-term rental people in the city who need to live and work here. Can you kind of see where I'm going with that? I want you to inform me in a way that I'm not seeing how that's a bad thing.
Yeah, so I think the way that you frames it very much so as a fix, but unfortunately the reality of these secondary suite rentals is that they're only rented on average of around 3-4 months a year. So they're not units on average that sit empty and only get used by Airbnb rentals for, let's say, the duration of 12 months. And so the problem here is that if you have a unit that is a secondary suite that is only rented for 3 months, that's definitely not going to enter the long-term rental market, because the amount of long, in quotations, long-term rental agreements that are 3 months or less are almost zero.
Yeah, zero. But I'm missing the I've got a disconnect here. Sorry. Clarify for me. When we're talking about a secondary residence or a secondary unit, not your primary residence, who's in there for the other 9 months of the year in the story that you're telling? When you say it's only available for like 3 months of the year, who's there the rest of the time?
So, I mean, that varies. It can be the homeowners themselves in terms of, let's say, they have vacation property somewhere else.
But that would be their primary residence, wouldn't it?
Well, let's say if they retire and they spend 7 or 8 months of the year in Arizona and they spend the summer in Vancouver, that unit that they own in Vancouver is not their primary residence, therefore it's no longer. However, they would be living there for those 4 months. So this is what we call dead capital.
Right.
So those units actually sit empty now for the duration of when those people aren't there. And now with this extra egregious empty homes tax, you're going to have the city patrolling neighborhoods to try to figure out who's actually doing this. And it really is, in my opinion, a gross encroachment on leaving people alone in their own homes. And it does nothing to address the problem that the city permit office is very heavy-handed in rejecting development bids. There are a variety of pending proposals that go through 4th, 5th, 6th submissions that are upwards of 150-unit proposals at a time that just get rejected flat out by the permit office. And so I think that's the solution. I mean, we all agree that there's a crisis in Vancouver. I think anyone would have the blinders on if they didn't see that. The question is the solution.
Right.
I mean, the mayor himself only admitted or estimated that 1,000 units would enter the long-term market. I think that's not even close to accurate. But I could give you a solution that would bring 1,000-plus units into the long-term market, and that would be opening up that build process so that the city can continue to have those new units developed so that they can be rented, so that the condo market can have a little bit of ease on prices and things like that.
Everybody would love to see more building. Those permits and the red tape and the level of delay is astounding. We're with David Clement, North American Affairs Manager for Consumer Choice Center. Going back to the primary residence discussion, I think we were talking a little apples and oranges, just for clarity's sake. My parents are actually snowbirds. They used to spend half the year in Maui, and they actually lived south of the border. Now they live here, and they spend half the year in Palm Springs, not even half. But they've made a concerted plan to come back here at Christmas time for a couple of weeks, then come back in the spring for a little bit, so that they don't leave their house empty, so they don't have that empty homes tax being applied to their residence. The secondary residents that I was referring to are, there are so many people, lucky people in this city who have had the ability at that when there was very fertile ground, I guess, to purchase a secondary, let's say, studio apartment. They live in a detached home in East Vancouver, and they've purchased a studio apartment in Yale Town. And that secondary unit in Yale Town is not available for rent. Nobody lives there. It's not available for long-term rent because they are using it for Airbnb. That is the thing that I think could be monitored and locked down or something to cause the people who own that to rent it long-term.
Yes. So the amount of units that exist, as you've just described, are actually like a very small fraction of the suites that are rented out in Vancouver, the secondary suites that are rented out. And so I don't see that approach having any significant impact in terms of increasing supply.
Okay.
So that's the big issue here is that especially people on the pro regulation side have said they have painted a picture of somebody who owns a second property and rents it out through Airbnb for 360 plus days a year. For the most part, that is very rare. For the most part, these secondary suites are residences that people use at some point. Right. So you brought up the example of wanting to go back at Christmas and avoid the empty homes tax. The thing about a lot of these rental units is that they don't go into the long-term rental market because, one, those leases are usually almost always longer than 6 months, upwards of a year or longer. They're particularly difficult to get out of, and they can be problematic in terms of how they're managed. And sometimes people prefer the ease and the luxury of working through Airbnb, which has all these internal regulatory mechanisms that make sure that guests behave and make sure that hosts are appropriate, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so what we could do is we could shift our focus in terms of looking at why the incentive structures are what they are and why people favor the short-term rental market over the long-term rental market. I'm sure there are a variety of things in the long-term rental regulatory scheme that could be tweaked that would incentivize people who own these secondary residences to consider long-term rental over short-term rental. But the city doesn't seem interested in having that conversation. They seem to want to make Airbnb out as the boogeyman.
Right.
And paint this as a solution when in reality it's only a Band-Aid at best.
It really is a Band-Aid. David, we really do appreciate your time today. David Clement is the North American Affairs Manager at Consumer Choice Center. And I thank you for taking my sort of my novice perspective and giving me a little bit of context to it. I do appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. Thanks so much.